How are you, Denny?
I'm really well. I'm sort of settling into Queensland life.
Will you come home, Denny, or will you relocate up there?
Well, one day.
Look, if I didn't have family back home, I'd be up here for a while because it's pretty good. You just walk around. I don't like to rub it in, but I'm waiting for a coffee now, and you can go to places and things like that. So we'll be back to that pretty soon, which is good.
Can the players do that, by the way, or are they still in a tight sort of restricted bubble?
Players are free as a bird. They can do pretty much everything. I think nightclubs and such are off limits.
Yeah.
For the players who are still playing, but there are plenty of players who have stayed up here. They've finished their seasons. Some are getting surgery and that kind of thing, and they'll recover up here. And there are plenty of other players who have just decided, okay, well, I've finished my season here, my family's here, we're just staying up here. I reckon a lot of them will stay until lockdown's finished. I mean, the wives and families came up and they did their 2-week quarantine, which is pretty tough for families to do. And the benefit they're getting now is they're free at the moment. There've been a couple of little scares in Queensland with COVID, and people are a little bit jumpy. But so far things are staying open, which is, everybody in Queensland right now is extremely fortunate.
Caught your story on Nine News last night in regards to Brandon Smith and Harry Grant as well. I just looked at that thinking, gosh, he's torn, Brandon Smith, on what to do.
Look, Harry Grant's going to do everything he can. He actually volunteered to me that he'd like Melbourne to re-sign Brandon Smith and do it in a hurry, which is a pretty unselfish attitude from Harry Grant, given that he moved out of Melbourne to go and play for the Tigers just to get some first grade. That's when the great Cameron Smith was obviously around. But he is desperate for Melbourne to re-sign Brandon Smith because he sees him as their hooker, and he's happy to come off the bench and start games off the bench while Brandon does the early work at hooker, and then he's happy to come on and swap around. Brandon himself, he's rattled. He said to me that he's truly rattled by whenever we talk about contracts, and he didn't really want to talk about it, but he did. And he just says he's totally torn. He knows that the Melbourne club have changed his life, and he's very grateful for that. However, there's going to be big money for him. There's going to be really significant offers. And I asked him to clear up whether he was committed to Melbourne for next year, even though he's on contract, and he couldn't clear that up for me. So there seems to be something going on, although everyone expects him to stay with Melbourne next year, and then he's got 2 years to go. But I still think in his mind he's unsure.
Danny, tell me where Madge is at or where the Tigers are at, buddy, please.
Before we go to that, I thought you would have said something about Cameron Smith there.
That's my point. Why do you think I'm moving on? Hey, I've had my say about Cameron Smith.
It's taken two hookers to replace Cameron.
And guess what? They still haven't replaced Cameron. And they never will. Like, the Australian batting lineup can have six of the best and they won't replace Sir Donald Bradman. I think I've made my point clear there.
I think you have.
Buddy, tell me about the Tigers. Are we keeping Madge? What are we doing?
I don't think the Tigers know.
Really?
I think right now, they've just finished that review.
Yeah.
Michael Chambers from the Herald had a story saying that Tim Sheens is going to be promoted from the pathways to be a head of football now, like a director of football. So that's a significant change. I don't know if Michael Maguire has been consulted on that or not. The situation for the Tigers was, I think last week, Madge was really skating on thin ice. The fact that they're going to have to pay him out a significant amount of money after just re-signing him, and then the people who re-signed him would have to admit, we got it totally wrong. You know how the pressure goes on next. If they make that kind of sudden decision to totally reverse their trust and belief in a bloke who, not that long ago, they were happy to re-sign, it's not a good look. So that could work in Maguire's favour. The coach they want appears to be clearly Cameron Serraldo, who we talked about last week, and I wrote about in my column on the weekend. Serraldo's situation is this. He wants to concentrate purely on the things that are going on at Penrith right now. Until last week, they looked like absolute good things to win a competition. That has shifted a little bit. But Serraldo wants to pour all his energy into the Panthers and won't talk about anything, including a potential Tigers link, until the season's finished. And he's also on contract with Penrith. And I think he's going to have the choice of clubs when he wants it. And the Tigers may not be the best club for a young coach to jump straight into, even if you've got Tim Sheens. I mean, Laurie, do you think Tim Sheens is going to be an influence there as coaching director? Is that a good move by the Tigers, if that's what's happening?
Yeah, it's a great move. I'm Tim's biggest supporter. He taught me so much about the game. He's an elite coach. He has seen everything that rugby league has to offer. He's been involved in every situation. He knows how to handle people. He's a good man manager, tactically very strong. And if you're a coach, you would use him wisely and you'd have him heavily involved. And, Tim's not the type of bloke that would overstep his role either. He'd obviously let the coach coach. But the coach, if he was smart, he'd be working closely with Tim Sheens and asking him about certain players and certain structures, because he is one of the great coaches of all time. So to have someone like that in your corner, I think, is a very, very good move from the Tigers.
Could you see him working, with a Michael Maguire closely in that sense? Because, look, Madge, you've got to give him his respect. He's won a competition.
Yeah.
He's coached New Zealand. He's been around for a while. Does he need a? I don't know if he needs a.
Well, I don't know whether he needs. I don't know whether he needs that. But you know what? If it's there at your disposal, you take advantage of that. You've got to put your ego aside and say, "Well, for me, if I'm to survive here, why wouldn't I use a guy like Tim Sheens? It'd be like having Phil Gould on your roster. Why wouldn't you tap into his knowledge? You have to use the knowledge at your disposal. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And I think with Tim being there, he can help take a bit of pressure off him. And I said before, Tim knows his lane. Tim, I'm sure, he's not going in there to backstab Michael Maguire. He's not going in there to undermine him. He's going in there to help him and support him and hopefully get the best out of the Tigers playing group. And if it doesn't work out, well, so be it. But one thing I know about Tim Sheens, he's not going to go in there and try and undermine the coach in charge.
He's a quality person, isn't he?
Rock solid. He's a rock solid guy, and his track record proves that. So, the sooner they can get him in there, the better that the Tigers will be, in my mind. I just know that he's got still so much to offer. I was interested in your article on Sunday, Denny, in the Sun Herald, Latrell and the Blues, and how you were asking whether there could be some disruptions in the camp given the history between Roosters players and South Sydney players. Where's that all at, mate?
Well, it's coming out of Queensland. Since I'm an honorary Queenslander for the next few more weeks, I've got a few Queensland contacts, and I was stirring them up a little bit about the whole, the three coaches in 3 years, and they're in disarray. And they said, well, what about, we're hearing there's disarray within New South Wales, given that, there was all that tension between the Roosters and South, and that's going to spill over into next year's Origin, given there's Roosters and South players in the Origin team. And Latrell was such a key figure in that Origin victory. His aggression and the way he bullied Queensland was just remarkable. So I put it to Brad Fittler, and he shot it down straight away, saying he doesn't see it as an issue at all. Now, Laurie, you've been there, done that. In that position, can that sort of thing impact, or do you think, will time heal, or how do you handle that as someone who's been in that position of authority?
I'm just trying to think of any stage throughout my football career, either as a player or a coach, whether that type of thing happened, and I can't recall it happening, but I'd be pretty confident that even if you've got a grudge against someone, I mean, you look at when Spud and Chief played, for instance. you know, there was great rivalry and intensity and hatred in their clashes, but when they came together for Australia or New South Wales, they always put it aside. So I don't think it'd have too much of an effect, no.
I've got a vague memory. It was before I was covering it, but I think it might have been around 1985 or so. There was Terry Fernley, I think, was the Australian coach, and the Queenslanders and New South Wales blokes just didn't get along then. And I think that was a drama.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that because they didn't select a couple of the Queenslanders for the Australian team. Was that right?
I think that was the way.
Yeah.
It's a bit vague in my memory, but I was just thinking about it then. And, you know, I guess it can impact in some ways, but I've got the confidence that someone like Freddie, he's such a cool cat. You know, he can soothe things. Like he had his issues previously with Latrell, and you know, he managed to bring that right into line, and he got the absolute best out of Latrell in Origin.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be an issue, and I think it'll be sort out a lot more easier than, you know, I think that was more along the state lines rather than the team battle, like an internal battle within the teams. And I think it was a tour to New Zealand that they left a couple of the Queensland players out. It might have been Greg Dowling, because I remember they scored a try and they were walking back, and I think Dowling gave the finger or the bird to Fernley on the bench, saying, get that up, yeah.
How good's that?
Yeah. It was great.
When you're playing for Australia. It's like pup.
Healthy competition, they call it, buddy.
Yeah. Like walking back to the change room.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, Sam Verrills, we were talking about him before. Do you think he'll get off?
I'm actually surprised they hit him with a grade two. Look, the Roosters are going for that downgrade. I watched that and...
He couldn't do much, Lenny.
Where he could go. I didn't know what else he could do. And it was almost... I mean, it's naive. It's a naive way of explaining it, but it was almost like the bloke ran into his shoulder. I mean, it was so... You know, technically, yeah, he got him in the head, so he's probably in trouble. But I just don't know what else he could do in that, or how else he could handle that situation. I'll probably get criticism for saying that. But
no, I don't think you will. Yeah, you will get criticised, because I got criticised for saying it as well. But I don't think it's a grade two. I think grade one sufficient. Mm. And I see him. His arms are down by his side, and when Brian Kelly falls, he falls into him.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the way I saw it as well, Denny.
Lodge, privately, the Roosters are absolutely fuming about this. They feel, we saw what Robbo said the other day, and they feel they've had a really rough go, you know, with a lot of decisions this year, and Robbo made that very clear and got fined for it. And he's, you know, behind the scenes, they are not happy. Mm. They are not happy because, you know, they're very thin, as we know, on troops as it is. Verrills is such a vital part of their team. They lost Jake Friend, obviously. They haven't got a lot of depth in that position. They've got Lusick, I guess, but they might have to move, you know, Lachie Landholder at some point, and Sammy Walker might come up, you know, and play halfback from a starting point of view if they lose him. But geez, they're upset about it. Like I was with the Roosters yesterday, and they were not happy. Were not happy.
What's next, Denny, in the Wayne Bennett v Ivan Cleary boxing match?
Well, probably Ivan hopes nothing because Wayne, what is he, 71? What are most people doing at 71? Not a lot of people are working, are they?
Couch. Yeah,
most people are couching it and relaxing and...
Garden.
You know,
afternoon rent, sleep.
Yeah, afternoon kip, bit of gardening.
Wayne's in there cutting and moving and jabbing and mate, he's unbelievable. Seriously, like for his age, I mean, for any age, but for his age, to be just absolutely mastering what he's doing with the Rabbitohs, I have to admit, I thought they were no hope. I didn't see them having a chance against Penrith. I thought Penrith would win quite comfortably, and I was totally wrong. They produced something which, you know, I hope we can see them reproduce it because, geez, they were good. The confidence he put in the young fullback, Blake Tarpin, you know, the way they defended was just something I haven't seen from South for quite some time. And I think Penrith had their chances, if you look at it. I reckon they really missed Dylan Edwards. When Isaiah Yeo made that bust up the middle, That's usually where Dylan Edwards is just pushing up. Crichton is a very good player, but I think he's, you know, he probably hasn't got the fullback fitness that you need at the moment. And he looked out on his feet, and I think they lost a bit with him being a fullback and Edwards not being in the game. Well, once Edwards comes back, it's a huge boost for them. And I thought a couple of their forwards looked a bit tired as well.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I didn't see that intensity that you look for early. And it was like one of those games where Penrith, I don't know mentally where they were at, but it was like they were always going to win. They always thought they were going to win. And then, you know, it became tougher for them, and it was always like they had that attitude, yeah, we'll get there in the end. We'll get it done in the end. You know, it might take us 70, but we'll get there. You know, even if we win in the last minute, we'll win it. That's what it looked like to me watching it. And they created opportunities, but South were able to scramble and stop them, and then they got a little bit worried and then were panicking a little bit. And for me, I hadn't seen that. And this could be a big wake-up call for them, but when you start a semi-final, you want to go out there at a million miles an hour, and I just didn't see that from Penrith through what I've seen in when they've played big games before.
Over didn't the last see it in Manly months. Either, Laurie. Manly that same intensity. Like they, the two, you know, wise old coaches did, you know, got their, like Bellamy and Bennett really got their teams up, and you know. Whilst Melbourne, I think, still had another level to go to, they played finals footy. So did South Sydney. I don't think Manly did. I didn't think they came out strongly at all. And I don't think Penrith came out with that level that you're talking about.
And that's a great way to explain it, Denny. It wasn't... They didn't approach it... they didn't approach it like a finals football. They didn't go anywhere near what should have been expected of them. Because when you go into those finals, you know it's going to be another level. You know your expectation is higher, but you've got to start with a lot more intensity. They started like a normal sort of club game. That's the way I looked at it. It was just a normal club game for them where they ran out there thinking everything would be okay, and the other teams just were at another level, emotionally connected to the game. They were more... connected physically, and once you lose that battle early, it's hard to get it back in a big game. And I thought that's exactly what happened to Penrith and Manly in those contests.
Well, they'll learn from that, though. I think they'll both be right up this week. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. What about some signing news before you go, mate? Have you got anything on that front?
Yeah, look, I think the Dogs are going to get John Asiata. He was... He started at the Broncos last year, got injured and never went anywhere. But it's an interesting one because that'll be the first player that I think Phil Gould has actually picked out and signed for the Dogs. He's got good ball-playing ability. He's definitely he's a player that Gould likes. And I think he'll find it. They'll get him to a one-year deal. And there's an interesting whisper that Parramatta may lose Merab Nkoura to... the Warriors. It's just going around at the moment, and he's been a solid player for Para, so one to watch there as well.
I don't know if you heard anything, but a little birdie told me on the grapevine, I read something in the paper today, and I don't know whether it's got anything to do with him not being named in the squad or not, but is Ryan Madison on the outer at Parramatta?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I have to look into that, Laurie.
Yeah.
I have to look into that some more, but he's had his issues at clubs, hasn't he? I mean, remember... it was an unhappy sort of way he left the Tigers and joined the Eels, and he copped a lot at that time because of his approach to it. But I haven't chased that up at all. But I will.
Thanks.
Good on you, Denny.
Thanks, guys.